Today is Saturday, February 26th, 2022. This is a Grand Canyon oral history interview with Ada Hatch. Ada's first name is spelled A-D-A. Her last name is spelled Hatch, H-A-T-C-H. My name is Tom Martin. Good morning, Ada. How are you today?
I'm good, Tom. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Ada, may we have your permission to record this oral history over the telephone?
Yes, that's fine.
Thank you very much. Ada, what year were you born?
I was born in 1941.
Okay. Where were you born?
In Pasadena, California.
Well, what were your folks doing in Pasadena?
Well, my father homesteaded in 29 Palms, California. And there was no doctor in 29 Palms, just dirt roads. And so mother had to go into Pasadena to have all three of us. We were born there in Pasadena.
Okay. Your two other siblings, are they older or younger than you?
They're younger.
Okay. And do you know how your mom and dad met?
Yes, they met. Mother was the first enrolled student in Scripps College for Women in Claremont, California. And she met my dad through his sister, who also was in the first class of Scripps.
Oh, wow. Okay. What were their names?
Oh, my mother's name is Ada W. Hatch. And my dad's name is William B. Hatch, Jr.
Okay. All right. And was your father, was he raising date palms? What was he doing there in 29 Palms?
No, he was sent out there because he had really bad arthritis.
Okay.
And Dr. Lucky sent several people out to that desert because of the dry heat.
Right.
And Dad was really bad. He was on crutches and everything. But he really improved and spent his whole life out there.
Nice. Did your mom complete her degree at Claremont?
Yes, she did, and then went on to get a master's at Columbia University.
In what?
In child education.
Okay. And so she wanted to be a teacher?
Yes.
Okay. And this would have been, I'm trying to think.
Well, Dad homesteaded in 1932.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I can't remember the year they were married.
I was thinking about the Parent Teacher Association, the PTA,
yeah,
which was formed in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Did your mom participate in that? Do you know?
Probably not, because she did some substituting, but she never actually taught.
Okay. All right. And so your dad and mom were in 29 Palms. Is that where you grew up?
That's correct, yes.
What was that like?
Well, it was wonderful. We we had our homestead. We had a well and a windmill, and we depended on the wind to fill the tank with water.
Hmm.
And all of us, at one time or the other, left a hose on a tree and drained the tank, and that was really bad because then we'd have to haul water down from my dad's office up in the adobe. So
did you guys have an orchard?
No, we didn't.
Okay. Homestead, which means you have to maintain improvements on the land for a certain number of years before you actually get the deed to the land.
Right.
Were you guys guys ranching at all? Were you farming? Were you doing agricultural stuff? Or did your dad have a business? What were you doing?
No, my dad, because he was out there, and he was out there 2 or 3 years before he met Mother.
Okay.
But he was running the plant. He graduated from Caltech, and he was out there and kept the generator going at the little 29 Palms Inn, and one of the very early miners passed away, and land was given for a cemetery, but no one knew where it was, and so Dad, being a civil engineer, did the surveying and found the cemetery, and so he had a survey business there in 29 Palms.
Okay. And I imagine that there was some growth happening then, but this was through the Depression when he, before you were born.
Yeah.
And so he had an office there for doing land surveying?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay.
And then he also, in the same building, started an insurance business.
Okay. Did you live there throughout the Second World War?
Yes. I lived out there until I went to college, and my sister Liz is still out there in 29 Palms.
Okay.
She's been the mayor of 29 Palms, and she was also a teacher like I was.
Nice. Okay. What are your earliest recollections of 29 Palms as a child?
Well, one thing was mainly it was dirt roads.
Okay.
And after Mother and Dad were married, Dad came home and said that we've been invited to a party for everyone to meet you. And Mother said, "Oh, well, where is it?" And Dad says, "Well, I'm not sure, but it's at 5:30. And Mother says, "Well, what are we going to do?" And Dad says, "Well, just come out. We'll sit on the patio and watch. And where all the dirt road dust stops, that's where the party is."
Right.
And so they went to their first party, and they were the first ones to have a bathtub in 29 Palms.
Oh, wow.
And so people showed up for their dinner party to take a bath before the party.
They must have had a way to heat the water in the tub then. I wonder how they did that.
Well, we had electricity, and
okay,
we had a big water tank to hold the water.
Okay.
So.
Nice. All right. So it could have been just a little electric heater for the water then.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember going to school at first grade?
Yes, I do. There was no kindergarten.
Okay.
So my first, I went to first grade and all the way through school. Actually, I ended up in eighth grade going to a private school, Girls Collegiate School in Claremont, California.
Okay.
And I went there 2 years and then came back to 29 Palms and graduated from 29 Palms in 1960.
That must have been...
Yeah, 60.
That must have been quite in eighth grade, just because when I think of Claremont, I think of Los Angeles, and it's a different climate. It's more humid.
Right. My grandparents, my mother's mother and husband lived in Claremont, and so that's how I happened to go
okay.
there.
Okay, that makes sense. And what were they like, your mother's parents?
Oh, they were great people. Grandmother was in charge of Pomona College, was before Scripps, and grandmother was in charge of the inn and serving people and I don't know. Anyway, she worked there.
Okay. And do you remember what your grandfather did on your mother's side?
Well, he was her second husband, and they retired in Claremont, California. He worked for a box company in New York City, and they were first married and lived in New Jersey before they moved. But mother grew up. Mother was born in Los Angeles, and she and her three kids, Grandma Pat and three kids, moved to Claremont, and so mother went to school in Claremont.
Okay. And I'm assuming with a mother with a master's degree in childhood education that she probably taught you how to read early before the first grade, maybe?
I don't remember any of that.
Okay. And maybe placed, do you think that your parents placed value in education?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. When you had a chance to visit Los Angeles and when you were going out to the girls' school there, eighth grade, did you like that humid side of the world better than the desert of 29 Palms?
No, I don't. No, not particularly.
Okay. And in the summertime, did you guys do any traveling in the area at all? Where did you go?
We always did. My dad always took the month of August off, and we had a little Airstream trailer, and we got out of the heat and visited a lot of the national parks and traveled into Canada some and down into Mexico some.
Wow.
But we always traveled the month of August.
So up to Canada, I think of Banff and some of the high mountains there?
Yeah.
Okay. And then where did you go in Mexico?
Mainly down to Baja, Mexico.
Okay. Well, it was hot down there.
Yeah.
But at least there was the ocean to swim in.
Yeah, right.
Where did you learn to swim?
We had a little swimming pool there in 29 Palms, and Ralph Dunn taught us all how to swim.
Who was Ralph?
He owned the gas station.
Okay.
The Chevron gas station in 29 Palms.
And so today, I'm trying to remember the highway that runs through 29 Palms. That's not 40, is it?
No, uh-uh.
Is that, and that's not 10 either.
I'm horrible at stuff like that.
I have to get a map, too.
29 Palms Highway.
Right.
Goes right through 29 Palms, and that's all I know.
And what was the traffic like on the highway when you were growing up? And when you were 10 to 15, that would have been 1950, 1955-ish.
Very little traffic went through there.
Okay. So if you owned a gas station, you might not be super busy.
Right.
Okay. So you guys took your father took the month of August off, and you guys traveled with the Airstream. Did you head into Arizona at all? Did you go like to the Grand Canyon or?
Yes, we went to all those places.
Okay. When was the first year you were there at Grand Canyon? Do you remember?
Oh, probably about 10 years old.
Okay, 1951?
Yeah.
All right. And Coming from 29 Palms, it's most possible you guys would have gone over the Hoover Dam and then over to Kingman and up to Oatman.
That's correct.
Around to finally Williams on Route 66.
Right, yeah, we traveled Route 66 a lot.
Okay. To the Grand Canyon. And then did you keep going on up into New Mexico and explore that way?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any stories from those travels that you remember?
Well, I can remember, you know, Mother reading to us the river books when we'd come across a river or something. She'd read about the Mississippi River, and we'd read Mark Twain, and so we learned a lot of history on these trips.
Did you guys go as far as the Mississippi? How far east did you go?
Oh, yeah, we went all the way across. My father's father bought a point of an island in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Wow.
And it's called Hatch Haven, and we still own it.
Okay.
And so every 5 or 6 years, we'd go back to Hatch Haven and spend the month of August.
What did your dad's father do, your grandfather on your father's
side?
He
was a lawyer in Ypsilanti, Michigan.
Okay. It's interesting that your father didn't pursue that field.
Right. He started going to Harvard, and his arthritis got so bad, he moved to Caltech.
Okay.
And then out to 29 Palms.
Okay. But, you know, Caltech was a pretty good institution. It is,
yes.
is a good institution.
Yes.
So you had a chance then to travel the entire country.
Yes.
As a child, did you consider then 29 Palms home, or were you looking at other parts of the country?
No, 29 Palms was always home, and it still is, even to me.
Huh.
I mean, we go home to visit Liz, and Liz has to, I have no children,
mm-hmm.
but Liz has two kids, and Martha, my youngest sister, who's 7 years younger than I am, she has, she had two kids. One died of cancer, so she's got one child. But home for all of us is 29 Palms.
Okay. Nice. So in high school, this was at 29 Palms that you went to high school.
Right.
What did you excel in? What did you like?
Physical education.
Okay. Did you play sports?
Yes, I did. What? I was president of the GAA, Girls Athletic Association, and we didn't go to different towns, but we were very, very athletic.
Nice. Was there one sport that you excelled in or really liked?
Volleyball and tumbling.
Gymnastics type?
Gymnastics.
Or? Okay.
Gymnastics, yeah.
Okay. Nice. Were your folks encouraging you to go to college, or was that something
that... Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, there was never a question. As soon as you finish high school, you go to college.
Okay. So did you look around a little bit to see, because this would have been 1951, roughly 1961. Well, no, it would have been late 1950s when you would have graduated from
well,
high school?
Yeah, I graduated in 1960.
Okay.
And Mother, of course, wanted me to go to Scripps College, but I wanted to become a teacher, and Scripps College was liberal arts.
Okay.
And I knew that Flagstaff, which is Arizona State College at the time,
right,
was a very good teacher's college.
Okay.
And so, and I also wanted to learn to snow ski. So I left 29 Palms and went to Arizona State College. And I graduated in 1964 with a master's in, with a BA in education. And then I went back in 1968, and at that time it was Northern Arizona University, NAU, and I got my master's from NAU.
Was that a two-year program?
I took a year off to get that master's.
So finished that in 1971?
No, I got my master's in 1968.
Oh, I so all right. So you got your BA in 64.
In 64, and my master's in 68.
Okay, got it. All right. Gosh, the little mountain town in 1960. What? Tell me again, what attracted you to Flagstaff?
It was a very good teacher's college, and I wanted to learn to snow ski.
Okay. So it had a good reputation.
Yes.
And did. So this would have been in 60-61, so or the fall winter of 60-61. What was the skiing like then? What was the mountain like? How did that work?
Well, it was good. Well, that particular year we didn't have any much snow, and so they would take us in this little like snowmobile up to the north side of the slope, you know, for us to learn to practice since there wasn't snow all over. And that first day, seven of us ended up with broken bones and in the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
For casts and stuff like that. The bus that picked us up from Arizona State just stopped off at the hospital there and unloaded us.
Oh my gosh. Wow. And so I'm assuming there was no you guys had to walk up there and then try to ski down.
Right.
And I'm assuming you might have been pioneering the slope at that time.
Yeah.
And the rocks would have been there and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So did you stick with it? Did you get better at
it? Yeah, I did. And the other, you know, three years that I was up there, we had good snow, and I did learn to ski.
So in good snow, where would you go? Because
with the snow bowl.
Okay. And did it have lifts at the time? Did it have a tow rope?
It had a tow rope, and it had one chair.
Okay. All right. Did you stay in the dorms then?
Yes, I did, and I joined Tri Delta Sorority.
Okay. Do you remember any of the instructors at the time that inspired you?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I knew Dean Pipes, and some of my instructors, one was Dr. Bedoric.
How do you spell his last name?
Bedoric. And,
so B as in boy, B-E?
Yeah.
Bedoric.
Okay.
All right.
And
What did Dr. Bedoric teach?
She taught physical education.
Okay. And what was attracting you to want to be a teacher?
Well, I'd always wanted to be a teacher since early growing up. I had a bad teacher, and I can't even remember what grade that was.
Hmm.
But I told Mother, I want to be a teacher, and I want to be a good teacher.
Nice.
And so that was my goal. And here in Page, I was nominated to be a Teacher of the Year for Arizona.
Hmm.
And I didn't get it, but that was a wonderful honor that this town nominated me for that position. And they put together a wonderful book of letters from parents and students and fellow teachers and neighbors, you know, telling why they thought I would be an outstanding teacher for Teacher of the Year.
Nice. Very nice. I was thinking about the university in Flagstaff in 1961, 62, 63, there was a math professor there named Harvey Butchert.
Yes.
And yes. Harvey was doing hiking at the time. Did you get in on any of his hikes?
No, I didn't, but I knew of him, yeah.
Okay.
And right across from the campus, Arizona State campus, was a sawmill.
Okay. And it would have been operating with trains,
the trains
bringing in bringing in lumber from the surrounding forests.
Yeah. One of my roommates, her father was an engineer on the train, and he had a special whistle whenever he went through Flagstaff, so we always knew when Jeannie Christie's dad was
cool.
the engineer of the train.
Uh-huh. And so the trains would have been diesel by then, except for the trains working for the lumber mill would have still been steam-driven oil.
Well, and I don't know anything about that. And I think even though it was a lumber mill, I don't think it was still going. It was just there.
Okay. Okay. Huh. At one point it did shut down, but I know some of the students in the late 50s were making good money. The men would climb into the fire boxes of these trains and descale them with a descaler. It was very loud, but the pay was great.
Yeah.
So you could make some good money keeping the trains in shape. There was a couple. I'm just going to throw this out, just wondering. Jim Sanders and his wife Iola, or Pete, they were getting their teaching degrees around that time. I don't know if those names ring a bell or not.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, all right. I was trying to think of were you in sports in college? Did you carry on?
Yes, I was. I was.
What did you do?
Volleyball.
Okay.
And I was a ref in basketball.
Okay.
And I played basketball too.
All right. Nice. And then you'd go visit your folks back at 29 Palms.
I would take the train, and the only train that I could take was the mail train, because it was the only one that would stop in Amboy.
Okay.
And that's just 48 miles from 29 Palms. But Dad would have to call the dispatcher in San Bernardino to have the train stopped. And then Dad would be out there with a lantern. And trains hated to stop. And that, because Amboy was at the bottom of the hill.
Oh, wow.
And they like to really get up the steam to go up on the other side.
You bet.
And so when they did stop, they would throw my duffels and everything out when the train was still moving.
Oh my gosh.
And then it would just stop long enough for the conductor to put a step down, and I would step down, and they would take off again right away.
Wow. Huh.
But then when I would come back, I would get into Flagstaff at 3 in the morning, and the campus cop would pick me up at the train station and take me to the dorm, the Tri-Delta dorm.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, so heading west, you would arrive in the dark, and heading east, you'd be in the dark as well.
That's right.
I imagine that if there was a long grade to the west of Amboy, they probably didn't like to stop there either.
No.
going east, because they would lose all that momentum from coming down the hill.
Right.
Gosh. And I bet the mail train, though, must have stopped all kinds of places.
Well, yeah, I can remember there just being wooden seats on the mail train.
So not real comfy.
No.
Okay. Did your folks come and visit you in Flagstaff sometime?
Yes, they did, yeah.
Okay. Why did you, I mean, it's kind of a stupid question, but I was thinking about, why did you think to get a master's degree? Was that to secure your position teaching?
Yeah, and it got you higher on the pay scale, too.
Okay, all right. So when you finished up with your degree,
right,
in Flagstaff, you would have been looking for a job.
That's correct.
And what were your prospects? What were you thinking?
Well, when I was a sophomore in Flag, I was hired by the Museum of Northern Arizona to go out in the field and excavate a ruin on Paiute Mesa, which is just east of Navajo Mountain. And so three of us were women, and we were told that we were the only females that the museum would send into the field, and whether we could make it or break it depended on how we survived.
Wow.
That summer.
So let's back up a bit. What year was this? Do you remember?
This was in 1962.
Okay. And so were you in what class got you tied in with this?
Well, I had a minor in anthropology and archaeology.
All right. And we've already talked a little bit. You mentioned Lex Lindsay,
right?
Lindsay.
And he was head of the dig that we went to.
Okay.
And mainly there were guys, and the Navajos built us a shade ramada.
Oh, nice.
And we mainly stayed down there. They set up a table and a typewriter, and so the guys, the site was NAU or A. Let's see, 7714 was the ruin, and it had 82 rooms, 15 courtyards, and 5 kivas.
Wow.
And so they would come back from the site, which was about a mile and a half away, in the Land Rover and all, and bring what they had excavated. And then we washed the patchards in hydrochloric acid and cataloged the monos and malls and we did the processing, and then Lex would take it all to Flagstaff when he'd go back to Flag
okay.
on some of the weekends.
And you guys would stay out?
Yeah. But we did a lot of neat things out there. We went over to Navajo Mountain. To get to Paiute Mesa at that time, we had to go through Inscription House.
Yes.
And then out on Paiute Mesa.
So that would have been coming from Highway 89 off to Tuba City and
right.
then on toward Kayenta, but
right.
then you would take the turn off to the north to Inscription House and then on further north to...
Yeah, on to Paiute Mesa. We had to have four-wheel drive and it took us about 7 hours. And we were, we were 7 hours to the nearest telephone.
Okay. Which was where?
Which was at Navajo Mountain.
Okay. Was that the trading post there at Navajo Mountain? Or the lodge?
Yeah, it was, owned by Cameron.
Do you remember that
Madeline Cameron.
Madeline and Ralph, her husband.
Right.
Correct. What do you remember about them?
Well, I remember when we came over there, she served us a really nice chicken dinner.
Uh-huh.
We went over there and spent the weekend, and I remember that well.
Do you remember any of the hands, the packers, the guides that they had?
No, but I know the diggers that we hired, and some of them were from Navajo Mountain.
Okay.
And when we came, we had a reunion here in Page 25 years later, and they all met here at my house, and we went out there, and several of the diggers showed up at Inscription House to say hello and meet us again and
nice.
Say hi to Lex and stuff like that.
Nice. What do you remember about Lex?
He was a wonderful guy. He was a father of four girls and just a really, really... I had eczema on my hands and they got bad once. So when he went to Flag, he took me in to Flagstaff to check out my eczema. I remember that.
Mm. That must have been tough.
Everybody gave me a list of liquor to buy to bring back to them. And so somehow I was pretty stupid. But I just combined a lot of them in containers, so they were mixed, and I got out there, and the different liquors were mixed in the bigger bottles, and they weren't happy at all.
Oh, no. I bet that only happened once.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my gosh. What were some of the amazing things that you saw at that one, which is a fairly large Puebloan village, 82 rooms. That's puts the Navajo the Navajo Mountain Lodge to shame.
Yeah,
the Cameron
well,
place.
Well, you know, when they were excavating, they threw the Anasazi, and it was in the 1300s. They threw a lot of their bodies over into a trash pile off the Paiute Mesa. Was a little mesa, or Pottery Pueblo was the name of where that ruin was.
Okay.
And they would throw some of the bodies and all off that little Pottery Pueblo. And so, but when we went to excavate that, the Navajos wouldn't touch it. our guys had to go and excavate that. They didn't want to have anything to do with bodies.
Okay, sure. And how long were you working with Lex out there?
We were there the whole summer, 3 months.
Oh, my. Okay.
Mainly doing, 7713. But towards the end, we started another ruin, which was 7719. But most of it was just that one ruin.
Okay.
And, of course, when we left, it was all sort of backfilled.
Mm, okay.
We had a huge pit where a lot of the things, after Lex would go through the pottery and look at it and pick out what to take back to Flag, then we'd dump everything else in this huge pit by our Ramada. So I remember that.
Oh, that's fascinating, because that would have displaced all that material. They would have dug it up at point A, brought it to you at point B, and then buried it at point B.
Yeah, what they didn't take to the museum.
Right. Huh. That practice just doesn't happen anymore. But
yeah,
it's interesting thinking about that. That was a time when the Glen Canyon Dam at Page, Arizona, was being constructed.
Right.
And there was a big push by the museum to do salvage archaeology, they called it, in Glen Canyon.
Well, and that was part of our group.
Okay.
We were the seventh year of that. The museum was hired to do the part of it, and then there was another group out of Utah that did it. But basically, the first of the project, they did everything that was going to be covered by the lake.
Okay.
But by the seventh year, they'd gotten everything, and that's how, Pottery Pueblo is still there, because the lake's nowhere near that.
Right. Did you ever meet a woman named Jean Foster?
I know of that name, but I didn't meet her.
Okay. And another woman named Catherine Bartlett?
Yes.
What do you remember about Catherine?
Well, I just know those names.
Okay. Okay, because Catherine was working for the museum at the time. Jean had stopped working for the museum by then,
yeah.
I think. So, yeah, okay.
But I knew Dr. Colton.
Okay, what can you tell me about Dr. Harold Colton?
Right. Well, that he was Lex's boss.
Okay.
That I spent time in his house. Years later, when that was, I belonged to Delta Kappa Gamma, which is an educational sorority that's worldwide, and we would have programs up at Dr. Colton's house.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Did Lex ever talk with you about the kind of work he was doing? Looking at this large migration of Puebloan cultures down to southern Arizona from the Glen Canyon area.
No, he didn't. Although, we three girls, Mary Ann Stein, she was an archaeologist. We were just students at Arizona State College, but she was kind of our boss.
Okay.
And later she went down and worked with the Hohokan down in southern Arizona.
Okay.
And I think I gave you her phone number and everything.
Yeah, you gave me the phone number for Lex's wife.
Yeah, Jane.
Yes.
But didn't I give you one for Marianne Stein?
No, I think so.
Well, I could give you that. But I'll give it to you later.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's do that. What else do you remember about that summer?
Well, we made dirt balls and slings, and we would practice and have games where we would, you know, see how far we could throw our dirt balls. And, three of us hiked down it was between Paiute Mesa and No Man's Mesa. We hiked down there to collect clay, and we brought it up, and then with the clay, we made pots and tried to make the slips to put over the coiled pots.
Okay.
And then we fired them in dung and, you know, just to appreciate what went into making the pottery.
So was that down to the San Juan River?
Yeah. Well, we didn't go all the way to the river, but we hiked down between Paiute Mesa and No Man's Mesa.
Okay.
We hiked down into that area to collect the clay.
Right, where there would have been water and the clay-type soil?
Yeah.
You gather that up and then bring it all the way back. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we were coming out and we ran out of water. And
ooh.
We were really concerned about that because we were carrying this clay. And we'd hidden some of the water on our way down.
Okay.
But we still ran out of water.
Sounds like quite an adventure.
Yeah, it was.
And an amazing education as well.
Right.
There. Was that the only summer that you worked for M&A?
Yeah, later I'd go up and help glue pots.
Okay.
And everything during the winter.
And while you were going to the university?
To Arizona State College.
Okay. Great. What other summer work did you do?
The rest of the summers I traveled with my family.
Oh, okay. Where did you go? Do you remember?
Well, again, we still had the Airstream trailer, and we, you know, go all over.
Headed back east or north or south. Nice.
We took the Airstream trailer and went back to New York, and
wow.
Liz and I, we sailed on the Queen Elizabeth to Europe.
Wow.
And that took 4 days, and then we came back on the Queen Mary. But to get east and all, we pulled the Airstream trailer with Dad's travel all.
Nice. How long did you stay in Europe?
For a month and a half.
Where did you go?
Well, we were on a tour.
Okay.
And so we toured, you know, England and Germany and Switzerland and down into Italy. And then we came back and we met a family and took our VW campers up into Norway and Sweden. And then we came back to England and met a different tour to sail back on the Queen Mary.
What was that like as a way to travel?
Well, it was really neat. Of course, we were not in first class, but we figured out a way to go get to first class, and we'd go up there and watch the movies and stuff.
Okay.
So, but we collected a lot of stuff on our traveling through the different countries, and we would sit out on the deck and put them together into notebooks, you know, into scrapbooks of our trip.
Okay. Nice. Do you remember any funny or unusual thing that happened during that trip?
Well, I can remember three of the girls. Basically, they were really wealthy people traveling, and we were not. But Dad really thought we needed to go on this trip to Europe.
Mm.
And so, but I remember three sisters, and they all smoked. And Liz says, well, why do you smoke? I mean, we just couldn't believe it.
Mm.
And they said, well, it's the thing to do. But I remember that. And then the girl Charlie from Las Vegas, who we never met till the third day sailing, because she'd stay up all night drinking and all.
Oh, my.
And so... anyway.
Huh. That was on the run out or
yeah,
coming back?
That was going.
Okay.
That was on the Queen Elizabeth.
Okay. Huh. And so these were just people, just fellow travelers that you met on.
Well, they were all on our tour.
Oh, they were. They were on your
yeah,
tour as well. Got
it. It was an Olsen tour.
Okay. Okay. So this is sort of rounding out to a really, sounds like a really good education about, you know, understanding geography, you know, travel of the world, the size of the world, and,
yeah,
and the history of the world, certainly dealing with the Puebloan material from 1300 AD. Of course, you go to Europe, and suddenly you're looking at a time frame which goes way back past that.
Right.
So it's a good eye-opener for... you know, in many ways.
Yeah, right.
I would think. Huh. So, did you, you were thinking, okay, well, I'm going to graduate here and I'm going to need a job. What were you looking at in the job prospects?
Well, I really enjoyed the summer in 62. We hired two Navajo girls, the Betsinis, that lived around the well, just on the other side of the butte from where our Ramada was. And so I definitely knew that I wanted to work with the Indians.
Nice.
With the Navajo.
Okay.
And so I interviewed, and my first teaching job was in Tuba City.
Okay. Did you know a nurse there? I'm trying to remember her first name. Her last name was Brown.
Well, in Tuba, we had the public school and the boarding school.
Okay.
And then, of course, the hospital.
Right.
And she must have been connected with the hospital.
That's right.
But I didn't know anyone there. I would go in and help feed the babies after teaching.
Okay. At the hospital?
At the hospital, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on her first name, but she would have been there at that time. So when did you start working at Tuba?
I started in Tuba from 64 to 66. 2 years I was in Tuba.
Okay. And where did you live when you were there?
In the teacher apartments.
Okay. What were they like?
Well, they were good, and I lived with a half Navajo, half Hopi girl.
Okay.
and really got to know her family well. Her mother was Navajo, and we'd go visit her in Chinle. Chinle.
Mm-hmm.
And then her father was Hopi, and we'd go out and visit his family on at Walpi.
Okay.
First Mesa.
Nice. Very fun. And this was fall and spring, and so you would have summer off then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then would you spend that back with your family in traveling? And,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else do you remember about that time working at Tuba?
It was a bad... I left Tuba because there was a lot of marital exchanges and stuff like that, you know, the little kids wouldn't know whether they'd wake up to who was in bed with their father or their mother, and a lot of drinking in Tuba. Either you were an alcoholic or did a lot of drinking, or in sports, and I was in sports. I was on an all Navajo basketball team, and we traveled all over the reservation playing basketball.
Tell me about that.
Well, I was small, but I was fast.
Okay.
And so, you know, I learned, and I picked up and Navajo, and I learned what they were saying is watch the little one, because that was me.
Uh-huh.
Because she's so fast, you know, and... So I was hired here in Page because I could speak some Navajo.
Okay.
And I picked up the Navajo when I was in Tuba City.
Nice. Were the games well attended?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did you guys do? How did your team do?
We did pretty good.
Okay, good. And it would have given you a real intimate view of... you know, that part of the Southwest.
Right.
You know, from Chinle to, I don't know, Shiprock and Farmington.
Yeah.
Tulani Red Lakes. I mean, just trying to think of other sections of the reservation that you might have gone into, or even all the way up into the San Juan.
Yeah.
Montezuma. What is it? Aneth, up that way. Bluff.
I didn't go up into that area much.
Okay. All right. But you would have played Kayenta and Chinle. I'm trying to think of...
And Ganado.
Okay, Ganado. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And these were...
Shonto.
Okay. And these were... I mean, gosh, when I think of Navajo basketball, I think of really competitive...
Yeah, it was.
Hard games. I mean, hard fought and well respected. So, nice.
Yeah, we wouldn't get home till early the next day, and then I'd have to go teach.
Wow.
But
after riding on a bus all night.
Yeah, actually, we took cars. We drove cars.
Oh my. Okay. That's right. Because this isn't. This was a. Was it called a professional league? What was it? How did you do that?
No, it was just we represented Tuba City.
Okay.
And Alan was our coach. And it was an all girls team, but he was our coach.
Okay. What do you remember of him?
He was good. We liked him.
Okay. Nice. And so you were with Tuba for 2 years.
Right.
And then where did you go from there?
And then because of the... I went back to 29 Palms for 1 year because the family that we met in camping in Norway and Sweden, Rosie came to live with my family for a year, and I told her if she came, I would move back to 29 and teach. So I went back to 29 and taught a year, and that was in 67.
Okay.
And or 66. And then I went back and spent a whole year in Flagstaff in 68 to get my master's.
Okay. Oh, 67, 68?
Yeah.
Okay. That was the year of the big snowfall.
Yeah, it was. I had to strap big, I had to tie my feet to big trash can lids to walk out to catch a ride to NAU.
Wow.
But, you know, to get across the snow, I was walking on these garbage can lids.
What a good idea.
Yeah.
That's sort of your immediate snowshoes.
Yeah, right.
Oh, gosh. I don't know how you would have managed to get one foot clear of the other without taking a face plant in the snow.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
My. Huh. That's pretty good.
But Dr. Pedersen was one of my professors, and he'd pick me up. I lived out right across from the museum.
Oh, okay.
And so I'd walk out to the road and then catch a ride with him to Flag until they shut down the school. And then I took the train again back to Amboy.
Shut down the school?
Because of the snow.
Oh.
They closed the school.
Okay. That must have been a nice... it must have been maybe wet in Amboy, but certainly no snow.
That's right.
Nice. After you got your master's, then, where were you thinking to go?
Well, Ray Bradshaw was here in Page, and he'd heard that I could speak some Navajo, and he came out to Flagstaff, and I was, he crossed that Rio de Flag to the trailer where I was staying, and he interviewed me, and he said they'd really like to have me teach in Page. And my dad had had a stroke, and I was all set to teach in Ketchikan, Alaska.
Wow.
But because Dad had the stroke, I didn't want to be that far away. So I said, yes, I would teach in Page. And I said, you know, I thought I would teach there just 1 year. And I taught and volunteered, I think it's 52 years I've worked for the Page Schools.
Okay, well, we'll open that up maybe next time. I'm just trying to get sort of set the stage for how you ended up going to Page. It sounds like after your Tuba City experience, you weren't super excited to go to Page.
Well,
is that a fair enough assessment?
No, I don't remember feeling any way.
Okay.
I just wanted to be closer to home because of
Sure.
Dad.
Okay. And what was Ray Bradshaw's position?
Yeah, Ray Bradshaw was the superintendent here in Page.
Okay.
Louis McDonald from Flagstaff was really instrumental in getting the Page Schools going.
Who was Louis?
He worked for NAU, and Bessie Kidd Best, they really helped begin the schools here in Page.
Okay. So Bessie Best, was she also with NAU?
Yeah, she was, I can't remember. I think she was in education. She would come up here. Somehow she was in the state education at Flagstaff, and she would come up here and check on the schools and things like that.
So she and Louie,
she'd come into the classrooms and read to the kids.
Okay. Nice. So, what year was it that you decided to go to Page?
Well,
68, 69?
Yeah, I came here in 68.
Okay.
And
I tell you what, Ada, because this is a great place to say, all right, in part two, I want to know all about what Page was like in 1968, and then we'll go forward from there.
Yeah, all right.
Is there anything else you want to add to this first interview that I may have missed or you wanted to add in?
Okay.
Is there anything you can think of that you want to add to this first interview? Otherwise, we'll wrap it up.
I can't think of anything.
Okay. Well, with that, this will complete part one of a Grand Canyon interview, oral history interview with Ada Hatch. Today is Saturday, February 26th, 2022. My name is Tom Martin, and Ada, thank you so very much.